I'm tempted to start out by singing a little bit of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but I don't know the song. Does anybody know the song? Wouldn't you like to be? I don't know. How's it go? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Wouldn't you be my neighbor too, right? All right. Mr. Rogers was actually a minister, and he set up Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as a way of teaching in some easy way the stories and the love of the gospel. And people didn't even realize he was doing it when he was doing it, because he had such an easy way about him. This concept of neighbor is one that is in the view today in a lot of our lives. If you've been following the events in Florida, you know that in Florida, George Zimmerman was found innocent of manslaughter, of killing Trayvon Martin. Not that he didn't kill him, he did kill him. But he was done it in self-defense. Now, no matter how you come down on that, on which side, that's your opinion. And the lawyers in the case each argued for their opinions and their perspectives in the case. Because that's what a lawyer does, right? A lawyer takes and tries to find a way to help people understand the law and help to interpret the law in their particular fashion. And in today's story, we heard the same thing. We heard that Jesus happened upon this lawyer, and the lawyer wants to know about getting into the kingdom of heaven and being saved, and he says, Jesus, what do I got to do to be saved? What are the great? And Jesus says, well, what are the greatest commandments? Well, love God above all with your heart, your soul, and your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the typical lawyer goes, well, Jesus, who is my neighbor? I'm trying to find a loophole here. Is it the person that lives on the right of me, the left of me, behind me, in front of me? And Jesus then goes in to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, when we think about the story of the Good Samaritan, there's some things that you need to know as people who want to study and know the scriptures about the Samaritan. First thing, Samaritans are hated at this time. And why? Well, where did the Samaritans come from? Did they just drop in like aliens? Did they just move from one neighborhood to the other neighborhood? Well, it happened at the time of the Assyrians. When the Assyrians came in and they captured the Holy Land, as I've told you before, one of the ways they controlled the land is instead of putting an army in, they dispersed the people. And so they took half of those, the Jews that were devout Jews living in the Holy Land, and shipped them away and brought people from other parts of their kingdom and brought them into the Holy Land. And so all these outsiders had come to the Holy Land. Now, it's been a number of years they were there, and guess what happens when two people come together who don't quite know each other so well? What do? Either they fight, or they sometimes get married. Well, I'm not even going to go there. But with all the new people coming into the land, there were connections made between the Jews that were there and the outsiders that came in, and they intermarried and started raising children and having families. And the Jews that were there, remember all the leaders of the Jews, all the priests and stuff, they were all thrown out, and the temple was torn down. It was leveled. So there's no temple. And the people in the land who intermarried started worshiping God as best they could. They didn't have the blueprint. They didn't have the other stuff that was going on there. So they worshiped God as best they could and had as much ritual as they could. And sometimes there would be other different things that would come into the worship service or the worship of God, which because you bring your ideas and I bring my ideas and we come together and we try to do something that is good. Well, a time passed, and then all of a sudden, those people who were in exile, the leadership, and you remember hearing the stories of Daniel and the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And they were all in exile. Well, you know what? It came a time when they became free again, and they could come back to the Holy Land. And Ezra and Nehemiah were the leaders and brought them back in the Holy Land. And when these folks who had been in exile came back to the Holy Land, they wanted to establish the temple just the way that it was. So under Ezra and Nehemiah, they came back to the Holy Land and they decided that what they were going to do is they were going to rebuild the temple. They were going to make it just so. But guess what? Here these people of a mixed race now have been already worshiping there, the Samaritans. And when the Samaritans asked the help to rebuild the temple, do you know what they were told? No. You're not good enough. You're not pure enough. Because you have spouses and children who have come in from other countries and you're not pure Jewish, so you can't do this. And the conflict occurred. And before long, they separated. And the Samaritans went off to one area and had a temple where they worshiped God, and the Jews rebuilt the temple in Israel where they could worship God. They laid the foundation stones for it. Let me give you a little side note on that. This is how it was. Suppose you had been in exile, okay? Barb and Lloyd have been in exile. They were forced out of Strongsville, okay? And they were out of Strongsville forever, for 25, 30 years. And they met and they married. And you know what? Barb is from a different place. She's from Medina, okay? Down there in the evil world, Medina, right? So they come back to Strongsville, and the pastor of the church says, well, Lloyd, if you want to stay in this church, you can, but you can't bring that woman with you. Send her away. She's not welcome here because she's not of Strongsville. That's what these people were told. Nehemiah and Ezra told the people that came back from the exile, that got back into the Holy Land, and said, if you've married someone who's not Jewish, you send her and her kids away. They are not welcome here. We're going to purify this. Just like they got rid of the Samaritans, they got rid of anybody who wasn't like them. Okay? Like them. Now, after that point, it became a time when if you were a Jew, you couldn't enter the house of a Samaritan because it would make you unclean, you know? You'd have to be, you couldn't go to their place because, ugh, you know? They're evil. They're the enemy. They're no good. They're idolaters. They worship false gods. Doesn't mean that, I mean, they're worshiping the same God you are, but they're not singing the same hymns. You know? They're not praying the same prayers. They're evil. You know? So Jesus first comes to the Jews, and then he says this story. He tells us a story about the Samaritan. He says, this man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, which, by the way, is a long walk. And it's a nasty walk. And in those times, it was like walking through the middle of the streets of some of our major cities where it's high crime area. And they walk through the middle. He's walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among robbers who beat him up, take all his money, leave him for dead. Poor guy. He's laying there. beaten, bleeding, left for dead. Here comes the priest. These are the guys in the temple, right? The priest. Oh, look. Someone's been beaten and bleeding and dying. And then comes a Levite. A Levite's kind of the holy class. They were kind of like the scribes and other leaders of the church or of the country. Bad bruises there. Cuts. Let me write this down. Bleeding all over the place. Okay, I think I'll go this way. And leaves him there. But then this Samaritan comes. Remember, they're the hated ones. They're the ones that don't do what the Jews say they're supposed to do, and they're worshiping in this temple off in some other part of the land, and they're the bad ones, right? And he comes along and he sees this guy laying on the ground, and he goes, look at him. He's beaten and bleeding and dying, and I can't leave him like this. So he takes and patches him up. And he pours oil on his wounds. That's to help heal them. And he picks them up, puts them on his donkey, and he carries them to the inn. And he cares for him at the inn. And when he has to go on his business, he calls the innkeeper. He says, innkeeper, here, let me give you 2 denarii. Let's do it in U.S. money. Let me give you $200 and care for him. And when I come back, if the expenses are any more than that, I'll make it up. Who was the neighbor to this friend, this man? Who did right in God's sight? You know, we still do that kind of stuff. Throughout history, we've done that kind of stuff. People who have come to this country and have made some people outsiders because they're not like us. The American Indian came over. Outsiders. If you had anything to do with an Indian, they used to use the term, pardon the expression, half-breed. Right? Half-breed. In the time of the Civil War and pre-Civil War, and, you know, even after that, if they look back at your heritage and you had one drop of black blood in you, you could be as lily white as, oh, I don't know, me. But if you had one drop of black blood in you, you were considered black, and you couldn't do things because you weren't white. Or maybe you came from another country. And, you know, I'm going to use the language. Maybe I shouldn't. The Spics and the Dagos and all these other names that we called people and separated them, said they're not as good as us. And then we had times when we had struggles with interracial or intermixed marriages. You know what a mixed marriage was? I mean, you know what the mixed marriage was? Catholic and Protestant, not black and white. Catholic and Protestant. Catholics walked down one side of the street and Protestants walked down on the other side because each felt that they had all the only keys. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Now we have neighborhoods that have huge walls around them and gated communities and all these other things. And regardless of what happened in Florida, it's so sad to me that we have to have a neighborhood watch and follow people around in their communities. I don't know that once somebody said, hey, Trayvon, you need a ride home? No, because he was different. And we made judgments. What's the term they use about that now, Colin? Profiling? We profile everybody. You profile me. You expect that as a pastor, I'm going to act in a certain way. As a woman pastor, I'm going to act even in another certain way. And if I take off my robe, you go, I don't know what the heck she's doing. Right? Because you have expectations based on what you see. And we do that with each other. Just like there was profiling in relationship to the Samaritan who was walking down and found the Jew who had been abused and beaten. Notice Jesus doesn't say, go back. He never says that, oh, you know, the Jew went and found the Samaritan and thanked him for all that he had done for them. There were no accolades. Jesus never talks about accolades for the Samaritan except that he uses this scenario. That's because when you do something good for somebody else and you do something good for your neighbor, don't expect anything. As a matter of fact, it's better if you don't get anything. Because when you don't get thanked or rewarded, it's then that your Father in heaven especially sees what you do. You get thanks for what you've done, then you've received your reward already. It's better to get thanks for what you have done, or not get thanks for what you have done, and get thanks from the Father in heaven, where the rewards are eternal. I'm going late. I'm going to get out of here in just a minute. But I want you to ask the question about your neighbor. Who is it that's your neighbor? Do you even know? I'm ashamed to say I don't know even all the people who live around me. I know a couple of them, but I don't know them all. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know who lives next door, two doors down, behind you, across the street? Do you know who they are? You got locked in your own little world. You don't even know the people who live next door. People who live in apartments never know the person who's across the room from them, except to go like this. Hey, shut up! You're making too much noise over there. What do we need to do? What does God want us to do? Love God with all our heart and our soul and our being. And who? Our neighbor is ourselves. And when the lawyer asked, who's my neighbor? All of us. Jesus loves the little children, all little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. No matter what age, we're still children of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the hearing of your word. Keep it on your heart. Amen.